Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
And welcome to Section 119, an Aggie talk show, Aggie talk sports radio podcast show where we talk about Aggie sports.
Fair enough.
Utah State Aggies, none of those other weird, like, you know, New Mexico State or anything Aggies.
Who needs them?
I'd complain, except New Mexico State at least made the basketball tournament, Texas A&M. Actually, no, I'd still talk down Texas A&M. Those, the like, milkmen cheerleaders.
I'm going to say, and this is a total tangent since we haven't even started the show yet, but Utah State Aggies are by far the most bearable Aggies. Texas A&M Aggies, I can't stand them. And then New Mexico State, I mean, what's their deal?
Isn't there like a University of California Aggies?
Yeah, I think it's like
UC, not Riverside.
Is it Davis?
Davis. I think Davis. It's Davis. Yeah, UC Davis.
They might be close because it's just like they're just there.
Basketball team only.
It's like if you have a gripe against UC Davis, like, you got some problems.
How could anyone hate the Utah State Aggies? Honest question. We're not good enough to hate. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. If you're San Diego State or something like that, you just kind of have to hate.
I guess. Somebody. I guess. I just don't. I don't know. I mean, even if I was like a Utah or a BYU fan, which I'm not, how could you hate the Aggies?
Because you're a Utah or BYU fan?
They're such a lovable team. Anyway, today we're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff. We're going to start off with some news being, I guess it's not like news. It's nothing new, because I think most people knew about it, but it was made official about Utah State's future football schedule. Maybe it's not even made official, but
it was just the most reputable source.
Yeah,
mentioned it.
So we'll talk about Utah State football and their future scheduling. Usually we leave the football team to talk about till the end, but why not? Well, we'll get it out of the way. Talk some Aggie football. Then we're going to talk softball team just tearing it up in every aspect, just killing it. We'll talk a little bit about gymnastics heading up to Seattle for the regional championship this weekend. And I don't know what else is on the docket. Maybe we'll talk about
the Ultimate Frisbee team took fifth place.
Apparently we have the national championship handball team.
I don't know if it was like handball team or just like two of the people on the team won the singles. I don't know if it was like the full team, but the two, a male and a female singles.
I also couldn't tell if they won the national championship or if they just participated in it, because the email was very vague.
Anyway, I promise you that's all we're going to say about handball for the rest of this podcast. The football team, though. Again, not really news, because like I've been hearing rumors about a possible trip to play Michigan State for probably 3-4 years now.
But they finally scheduled that L.
But, they finally got that up. Supposedly official. And then some games made official against LSU, against who else we got?
Washington
State.
I mean, those ones were a little bit more, like LSU and Washington State were both a little bit, LSU was a couple weeks ago, I guess, so that's pretty recent. Washington State was a couple months, but officially, or at least more reputable source, at least put out that Michigan State and Washington are both on the schedule now. So, I mean, this is only huge news in the sense that we're probably guaranteed a loss those years. But, I mean, we also are guaranteed a lot of money.
Yeah. We have played the head coach of the Washington before.
Yeah,
that is true.
He was formerly the Boise State.
He also owned us all the times that we played him. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, and of course LSU with a coaching connection down there with Dave Aranda as the offensive coordinator by then. Who knows, maybe he'll even be the head coach. Anyway, if you haven't seen the news and you're not sure what we're talking about, according to fbschedules.com, which I've always found to be somewhat reputable, I've visited the site quite a few times and looked at future schedules. They finally updated it and have us officially scheduled. Oh, and here, there's an interesting one on here that I wasn't aware of. But they have us playing, of course, Wisconsin this year, 2017. In 2018 games at Michigan State and at BYU, BYU no surprise, but at Michigan State. 2019 at Wake Forest, one at home against Stony Brook, which
they have a football team.
I didn't know they had a football team.
I guess that's their FCS.
I guess that's actually really new. But then also at LSU and at home against BYU. So there's the four non-conference games for 2019. No Idaho State, Weber State, or Southern Utah, which is a little bit of a change. Stony Brook seems random, but whatever. 2020, Washington State at home, Southern Utah at home, at Washington, and at BYU. And then here's the one that was surprising to me besides Stony Brook. 2021 at Washington State, which no surprise there. North Dakota coming to Logan.
Ooh, that's scary.
North Dakota's not super scary.
North Dakota State is the powerhouse, but yeah. North Dakota's a pretty good team too for FCS.
I think those like that and Stony Brook is probably after we almost lost to Southern Utah. The school is probably like, you know, we should stop doing in-state schools because they take it way too seriously.
Yeah, you know, I find this, like, I know that obviously the story here is that we've got games against Michigan State and LSU coming up and Washington, but we know those are losses. It's interesting. Yeah.
We don't know if Stony Brook and North Dakota are.
Let's talk about the games we have a shot at. And it's interesting to see that we have Stony Brook and North Dakota on the schedule because for the last how many years it's just been the circle of Idaho State, Weber State, Southern Utah. Which is good, you know. I like the little regional rivals, but honestly,
we could still play like an Idaho State or somebody. It just doesn't really do anything for us. We then have to go get 7 wins for a bowl.
But yeah, I mean, that won't happen. I don't see it.
Probably not. But I mean,
could technically maybe if we've got Hawaii one of these years, and so they've got that extra game, I could see possibly. If they throw in the towel
and realize we're not going to be bowl eligible anyways, let's just get an extra game of practice in.
Hey. Can't hurt, right? So looking at those, again, the Michigan State game that's been rumored for who knows how long. Washington, that's nothing new because I believe that was part of the contract we had set up where we already played a game there a couple of years ago. At LSU and then a home-and-home with Washington State. Each of those I've heard rumored, but pretty cool to see them actually on the schedule and at Michigan State as well.
Do we find any chance for the Aggies in any of those games? I'd say maybe Washington State at home.
I'm going to say of the next 3 years, no. I mean, we're not going to beat Wisconsin this year. That's the most obvious, resounding, absolutely not. Michigan State in 2018, probably not. They were bad last year,
but I mean, they're going to recover.
That's a really good program, you know. A bad team this year, but a really good program. So, they're going to bounce back. And that's only a year out for Utah State. 2019, LSU, no. 2020, Washington State and at Washington. This is 4 years down the road. Maybe our team will have things together. Who knows what Washington will be like. But for the next 3 years, no.
I'd say there's like one similarity I kind of will put here. This kind of reminds me a lot of schedule we had a couple of years ago when like Chucky Keene was kind of starting out. We had the last very end of DeAndre Borrell, rest in peace.
And Leon Jackson III.
Yeah, but we had Oklahoma 1 year. Then the next year we had Auburn. And then we had Wisconsin. Really good programs, and I doubt anybody really thought we had a chance in any of them when we first scheduled them, and we had a chance in all three. We're kind of at the same place in the program, I would say. We're coming off a 3-9 season. We have a couple freshman QBs coming into the program or already in here for a year with Jordan Love, Columbia. Maybe one of them turns into like a kind of a second coming of Chucky Keaton sort of, and the program kind of rallies around him and we can contend in those, but
no,
that's a low chance.
You're right. I mean, we would have said the exact same thing about those games before, and then, you know, sure enough, we go down, almost beat Auburn at Auburn, come a field goal, which I don't want to talk about, away from defeating Wisconsin. So, Yeah, I mean, never say never, but it is going to take either Matt Wells all of a sudden becoming a phenomenal coach, or like maybe just everyone realizing it, or everyone buying into his system or whatever, and a very solid quarterback coming in, and just an entire change of program culture like we've never seen except for during the Gary Anderson days.
Or maybe realizing that, you know, Wells is not our, you know, our coach, and finding someone that can do the job.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take something dramatic. We'll say that.
At the very least, at least with the games with LSU, Washington, and Michigan State, we're pulling in $4.4 million to play those three games. So at least we're going to have some money to like cover our losses and stuff.
Maybe we
so
can use all that money to hire a good coach.
Maybe that's all this really is. Like, maybe they're just like, you know what? We need money to be able to buy out the rest of Matt Wells' contract. Let's go play LSU one time.
Let me throw something at you. So first game of this next season, of course, at Wisconsin. Going up to Camp Randall, hostile environment, a 3-win USU team last year. Who knows if they'll actually be any better this year? 156 days away. So, let's say right now, Vegas put down a line for that game. 156 days out for some reason. And that line was 17 points. Obviously in Wisconsin's favor. Which side do you take?
Without knowing Wisconsin's team and like what they're going to be like, it's really hard to say. But usually Wisconsin's a very slow offense, very defensive oriented, and a lot of times they don't blow out teams. So I'd be tempted actually to maybe pick Utah State to just lose by like 14 or 15 or 16.
I'd probably take Utah State on that side also. 17's a little high.
Like, they're definitely not going to win or even make it close. But I could see maybe even like a backdoor cover where like the Aggie first team scores on like their 13 defense twice in the fourth quarter to make it look respectable.
What about this? You're given 1 to 50 odds for a straight-up Utah State win. How much money do you put down for Utah State?
A dollar.
So 50 to 1.
I put down like maybe $5, but
I'll put down the minimum, whatever that is.
$5, $10 or something like. But I mean, let's be honest. Like if I'm betting on any of these games, Wisconsin's the last one I'm taking, just because I feel like having played them a close game already, I feel like Wisconsin's going to have a little bit of like, we don't want them to be anywhere close in this.
Yeah, but none of the players that were around for that are still around.
True, but I mean, the coaches that are there now, they're going to probably mention it. They'll probably use at least, I mean, coaches always use some sort of bulletin board material. And I mean, having a close game like that where it's like, they can be like, this team almost came and beat us a couple years ago. It's hard to sneak up on that.
Yeah.
Maybe against like an LSU, if they're still going to have as much turmoil as they've had, that might be a little bit more attractive of a betting game to me, but.
Yeah, we'll do our 2017 deep dive into the schedule and breaking things down and looking at where we're expecting some wins and losses. But I do just want to say, first four games of 2017 at Wisconsin, Idaho State, so, you know, hopefully a win there. And then at Wake Forest, who's a much improved team, really pretty solid team last year, and we're going to play at Wake Forest, and then BYU.
I wouldn't be surprised if we start 1-3.
That's kind
two
of what
and
I'm
two
getting
would
at.
Be amazing.
Yeah,
and I think actually there might be a conference game before the BYU game. Actually, it doesn't have it on the FBS schedule.
Yeah, actually, you are probably right because the 16th is Wake Forest and the 29th is BYU. So
yeah,
you're probably right there.
I can't remember who it is, but I think it's one of our in division opponents, so it might be a loss.
It is. I'm looking at 2016. San Jose State. So,
oh, never mind. You know, might actually have a chance.
At San Jose. But.
Okay, so 2-2 is plausible.
Yeah. I guess I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. But
at the very least, like we've mentioned a little bit, like bowl eligibility is probably the season, like the ceiling for next year. Non-conference schedule is not going to help getting there. Like it's going to take at least breaking 500 or at least probably better in conference play to be able to reach that. So
yeah. Now that we got the crap out of the way, let's talk about Aggie sports that don't suck. softball is on a tear. Now, we've given the softball team quite a bit of love on the podcast in the past, but they just went to Nevada, made that awful, dreadful, horrible trip out to Reno. I don't know if you've ever driven to Wendover, but when you're driving to Wendover, you're thinking about how awful the drive is, and then you see signs that show Reno being another 350 miles further, and
it's hard not to think that
would be the worst drive in the world, and it is. So I'm guessing they probably flew, though. Everyone flies nowadays. Anyway, the softball team made a trip to Reno, took on the Wolfpack. They dropped the first game of the series. It was a 3-game series. They dropped the first one, but able to win the final two pretty decisively on Sunday, 17-4 win over the Wolfpack in a game that was called after the fifth inning. 17 runs in 5 innings, guys.
That's just one of those games where, like, right at the end of it, you just get the message that pops up on the screen. Your opponent has left the match.
That's what I do in Madden whenever I play online, because, like, I'll be feeling really good. I'll, like, beat the computer on all Madden mode, and then I'll try to, you know, test my luck online, and I'll go and I'll be down, like, 48-0 after the first quarter because all those guys don't have a life.
Like, if I was running a newspaper, like, after that game, I seriously just would have ran the headline just like, Nevada has left the match, and just like put a picture of like somebody actually disconnecting a controller or whatever.
I do need to correct myself, because I feel like I sold Nevada short. They did get 5 runs. It was 17-5. But yeah, softball team just rolling, man. Just absolutely rolling right now. And not only are they playing really well and winning a lot of games, they're 4-2 in conference. They've dropped one game in each of those series that they've played. So 21-7 overall in the season. Not only are they just playing really good softball, but they're nationally ranked in just tons of different categories, and especially offensively. Their offense is fantastic.
Yeah, they have 4 stats in the top 10, and then, you know, another 2 that are in the top 50. So 6 total stats in the top 50. One that, you know, that gets me is they're 7th in nation with triples, and triples isn't the easiest one to get. It's actually easier to get a home run usually than a triple, because you got to be fast to get a triple.
Yeah, they've got some really good hitters and some really fast runners. Jasmine Clark, who is a right fielder for the team, she's 15th in the country in stolen bases. And it just every single game, like, she's just under 1 stolen base per game. It's unbelievable to watch her.
The team is 8th in the nation, but, with 2.32 stolen bases a game.
Exactly.
It's so nice to be able to, like, quote these stats, and they're not just, like, some made-up thing. Like, this is the 10th straight game that Houston's caught 1 reception or something like that. Like, that's the fun thing with this team is, like, we don't have to BS anything. Like, these are actually legit stats.
This is a team that's good, and the stats back it up, and you don't have to, like, handpick stats that make them look good, because they're just good.
We score the most runs in the bottom of the 4th inning of any team in the country, man.
Like triples, obviously, like, a big feat, but, like, it may seem a little bit nitpicky, but 8th in the nation, stolen bases per game, 8th in the nation slugging percentage, 10th in the nation batting average. Those are big, important, very nice stats. And they've got a freshman pitcher, Kelly White, who's just killing it. She's, like, their main go-to pitcher right now, and just a freshman. So, like, the future is as bright as could be for this team. Probably, and I'm going to make – maybe it's not a bold prediction – I guess it's maybe bold because they were picked to finish 4th in the Mountain West preseason. I think that they win the Mountain West Conference. There's no tournament in the Mountain West, and so you do just have to win it straight up regular season. But I think that the USU softball team wins it.
Yeah, it'll be good, and I think they can do that, because so far they've won 2 out of 3 of their conference matchups, and if they continue to do that, there's no way they'll lose it.
Well, if you take 2 of 1, I think the major thing is going to be when they have to go play Boise State and Fresno State. They're coming up soon.
Which is this weekend, actually, for Boise State.
This weekend. Those are going to be, like, the ones that really decide it. So I think Nevada, like, with all apologies to them, I don't really think they're supposed to be too great in softball.
They're a decent team. Let me throw this at you. Their next seven games, they play three at Boise State. So the top two teams that were picked in the conference preseason, Boise State and Fresno State. The next three are on the road at Boise State. They come home and play BYU, who is now nationally ranked. They're number 25 in the country as of today. And then the next three after that at home against Fresno State. Seven huge games for this team. And if you can get out on April 5th when they play BYU, that's going to be a big one. And then the 7th, 8th, and 9th against Fresno State. That's a crazy week for the team.
Yeah, those are going to be just kind of those measuring stick games for the program. Just kind of see, like, I think this is the first time really when the team is this good, playing this well, and they're going to go up against really stiff competition. Kind of like when, like, the football team goes and plays at, like, Boise State or BYU. Those are always the games we kind of look at, like, can this team hold their own? So this is going to be it for the softball team. Is this kind of the 21-7 start? A lot of their, like, relatively weak non-conference schedule, or is this team for real? That's going to tell us.
Yeah. If they can get – so out of those seven, only six matter. The BYU game really doesn't matter except for, you know, if they're trying to break into the national rankings or whatnot, but it's not a Mountain West game, so really doesn't matter. So out of those six, the three at Boise State, three at Fresno State, if they can get four of those, this is probably your conference champion team. I mean, it's still early in the season, and so – that's kind of a big thing to say, but I really think so.
They've got a really good shot for it. I mean, until we play the games.
It's a front-loaded schedule.
And so, yeah, until we play the games, I mean, they have every chance to get it. It's whether or not they're pulling through the clutch there.
Yep. Anyway, so even if you're not into softball, come watch some Aggie teams that win. And they're fun to watch, like I said.
Outside, too.
Yeah, outside when it's a beautiful day. They got, as we talked about last week, they got some good concessions. And for those who aren't in love with softball or baseball, this is still a fun team to watch because they hit it over the fence almost every time they step up, it seems like. Really high-scoring team. One stat I didn't mention, 21st in the nation in runs scored per game. They're averaging 6.25 runs per game. So this isn't a softball team you're going to go out and watch and see a 1-0 game that goes to 10 innings or whatever, you know.
It just won 17 to 5.
Exactly. In five innings.
Kind of speaking on a conference championships, there's two teams, I guess, for the Aggies, which we're kind of looking at. Nice, like, conference championship watch. One is, of course, softball there. The other one is probably men's tennis, who just kicked off conference play this week and pretty well dominated the only team that beat them last year in the Mountain West, San Diego State. Beat them 4-1, and that one loss was pretty unlucky on one of the courts. They were up like 5-2 in the last match and ended up losing. But I mean, apart from that, straight set victories across the board, won the doubles point. And I mean, I talked to like some of the players and the coach and asked them, like, is there another team in the Mountain West you've kind of fear or look forward to like playing? And they're like, well, every single team. But looking at it, there's not really another team I think they can actually hang with Utah State over six matches in singles play.
Yeah, the men's tennis team, the only Utah State team who owns a Mountain West championship since we've joined the Mountain West, so ever. And really good shot to repeat. At least regular, you know, obviously tournaments, something else, but regular season, they're already in really good shape. As you said, beat the only team that beat them last year in conference. And I think they're just going to keep on rolling. I mean, right now, it was just announced today, they're 40th in the nation. They just keep climbing. Every time they're ranked, it's like a new school record for the highest they've ever been ranked. Well, right now, number 40 in the country.
Well, as long as if they keep winning, then we'll be getting that highest in school history pretty much every week if they keep winning, because can't really go down if you win, usually.
But you also can't pretty go much up from number one once they're there.
Once they get there. But yeah, tennis like rankings are a little weird. Like, they could theoretically drop if a lot of teams below them got really good wins, just like the way their formula works. But, I mean, still 40 in the nation. No other Mountain West team is even in the top 50 or in the rankings at all, really. the entire season even. So you look through the schedule, Boise State last year was like one of the big competition teams there. They're 3-16 this year and just lost several of their best players from last year. Not really that good at all. And then you look, UNLV is probably their toughest opponent left in the conference. Maybe New Mexico as well, but they're a little bit later. UNLV is this week, I think on Friday. They play at UNLV, which is going to be a really tough game. But, I mean, we beat them, I think, 4-2 last year here in Logan. And I even think they might have actually beat them 4-1. They finished out one of the other matches. But either way, this team plays well against Mountain West teams, at least in the regular season. They got a really good chance, like Jaden said, to just keep on rolling and pick up the second Mountain West title of Utah State's history.
And listen, if you haven't gotten out and watched the tennis team, it sounds awful. It sounds lame. It's pretty fun. And tons of opportunity to watch them coming up here. As Daniel said, going to UNLV this weekend. So on the road, no chances this week to catch them. But then after this, on the 6th, they've got St. Mary's at home. On the 7th, they've got two matches with Air Force and Weber State. And then on the 9th, at home against New Mexico. So that's four matches in 3 days. Yeah.
I think it's four.
No, 4 days.
But still,
four
matches in 4 days. There's plenty of opportunity to see this team. And you go, you also might win a gift card because they have some fan interaction stuff going on.
And they're free.
Yeah.
Free. As is softball, I should say. Free. People don't know that. It's free.
Yeah, and like men's tennis, especially like if it's bad weather, it's at the Sports Academy, which is actually a pretty nice place to watch tennis.
Got a nice like good upper weather, balcony to watch it from.
If it's good weather though, best venue in like all of Utah State might be the tennis courts up on campus, because then you can also go to Aggie Ice Cream right across the street. That's the best concessions. Let's be honest. It's a repeat from last week, but I still hold to it. But I mean, like you said, great chance to see some Aggie sports. Free Aggie sports. So you don't even get disappointed if they lose, because, well, you do get disappointed, but you didn't pay to watch them lose, at least.
Yeah, so. Fair enough. Closing things out, we've talked about every school-sanctioned Aggie sport that's going on right now, except for one who is about to enter their biggest competition of the season, that being the gymnastics team. We talked quite a bit about this last week, and so we won't delve in too much. But gymnastics heading up to their regional championship for the fourth straight year. They're going to head up to Seattle this weekend, where they will face the University of Washington, as well as
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, the number one team in the country. And then where did my list go? Kentucky.
And then I think
Stanford and BYU. So the number one team in the country in Oklahoma, number 12 in Kentucky, number 13 in Washington, then Utah State, who's number 24 in the country, and then Stanford and the sixth seed, some crappy team that just got in by the